The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Brother Meet Advice Show from the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy. I'm walking on air.
What up, Trav Nation? I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy. Woof, woof.
Hi, Trav Nation. It's Griffin McElroy. Come with us.
You all thought it was done.
On our bus.
It smells weird, but not that you can put a finger on.
You guys, world of you were like pure cat cactation.
You all at home were like, oh yeah, the McElroy brothers, now that Wonka's out, they saw it, they went, that's done, Wonka's done. Well,
is it? Because is it? It's so great with as bad as the news is always.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every once in a while a headline will pop up that's like, hey J-Man, you do need to know about this one.
Yeah.
And I am happy that the algorithm saw fit to send this our way. This Griffin, tell me about the Willy Wonka's chocolate experience in Glasgow.
Well, first of all, Justin, you fucking numbskull. It's not Willy Wonka's chocolate experience. It's Willy's chocolate experience.
Right.
The Willy featured in this chocolate experience is not Willy Wonka. And they cannot be any clearer about that. It's Willy McDuff, chocolate magnate.
See, I thought it was will he chocolate experience, because it's a question of will you, specifically me, will Travis chocolate experience? And the answer is no.
Automation's coming for us. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's coming for us.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get, that's all I'm going to say about that, except to say that oversight is overdue and probably not going to happen. So I think it falls on us to determine what is okay for AI to do.
Sure.
Right. Swindling people, not it. Swindling
Swindling people.
Yeah, that's, leave the swindling to the humans.
Yeah,
please.
Only humans can really swindle. Listen, AI can scam. You can scam.
It can hoodwink.
It can't flim-flam.
Cannot flim-flam.
Flim-flam is a human endeavor.
I'm going to say, just to put this on the list, I think videos of Will Smith eating spaghetti, specifically only, and it can't be too good.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. And coming up with Willie McDuff fan fiction, Willy Wonka side chapters, extended cuts, absolutely. You can go nuts with that, man. Let it ride. Don't do anything bad with it, but AI, seal of approval.
Okay, that one's AI's.
I think maybe there's people who don't follow Wonka-based news as closely as we do.
Right.
Oh, we've sort of run screaming into their house, screaming about Wonka, which they should be comfortable with at this point. We've done it so many times.
They opened the door. Like, we don't make our podcast appear. They clicked the button. They said, come in, tell me whatever you want to.
Now, there was an event. There was a event held in Glasgow, and it was largely Wonka-based, and it was completely AI-generated from the key art, which ended up sort of selling a bit of a false bill of goods vis-a-vis a world of pure imagination, while also promising things like Karchi Tuns and Exarso Surde lollipops and a passadice of sweet teats.
Sorry, I have to...
Sorry, one more time?
Sorry, what was that last one? Go ahead, and I can... just wait one sec. Allow me.
A passadite of sweet teats.
Now, Hey, I, are you drunk?
So the experience, the website is incredibly colorful, and the robots have done an excellent job. And then,
sure,
yeah, so they've really captured Lisa Frank in a cage and squeezed her weird blood out to make these images.
The problem is when they demonstrate the Twilight Tunnel in this ad. This is when the problems start to appear. You see a tunnel lit with candles, and that's very good. And then, Trav, are you able to make out what says there at the bottom?
Yeah. So, oh God. Okay. Lighten.
Dimtight.
These are different color palettes you can see in the twilight. Just to walk you through, all right, you guys don't really follow AI stuff as closely as I do. Let me walk you through sort of some of the heuristics that this particular program was running through, is that it wanted you to know what colors you were going to see when you went to this attraction at the Willy Wonka experience called Twilight Tunnel.
Right.
Uh-huh. And so it provides a list of color palettes at the bottom, which include labels like diffractions and ungrivel.
And pretty. And then underneath it says unexpected twits.
Yeah, unexpected and that twits one you'll see lots of unexpected twits.
Now look out for the incoming sounds.
This image is really the superstar.
Oh boy,
Trav, describe this one for me, Trav.
So this is if you combine the like ringleader MC dude from Moulin Rouge. And one of the horrifying clockwork things from the Madame Pompadour episode of Doctor Who, you've got that main guy there.
Yeah, right. Sure.
And there's weird candy all around. But the thing that gets me the most is the image upon his giant lollipop stick.
Yeah, what is that?
Because in one hand, he has a cane. Okay. In the other hand, a giant lollipop. He's double fisting walking utensils here. And on the lollipop appears to be
a bat.
Yeah, what I can only describe as grown up Vampirina.
Yeah. That's also worth noting that the bear has a butt for a front.
It does have a front butt. That is cool. Correct.
AI is so nasty.
It's a Trav. So at the bottom, it promises some of the things you can expect. Can you tell me what we can expect?
Well, there's live performances.
I will say the M on performances they did give that one an extra hump.
Yeah, there's a little jazz on that one. Cacassating, carchy tunes.
Yeah.
Exarcer lollipops. And as Griffin described, a paradise of sweet teens.
Yeah.
It's all right there.
This clearly was fed the paragraph that is presented to the right, which is written with no typos. And it's maybe sometimes they make the AI do this stuff too fast.
Yeah.
They're like, AI, I need pictures of Willy Wonka on my desk pronto. And it's like, pronto? Okay.
I haven't finished booting up yet.
I haven't even read this whole thing. Okay, let me get out my stenographer's keyboard. Sweet teats? Did I say sweet teats? Fuck, they're going to be so mad at me.
I don't have a backspace key. They didn't program that one in.
Shoot.
I like that they fed it captivating entertainment. And the AI was like, got it. So at the top, the banner says, enshrining entertainment. And then it just says, catagating.
At the bottom. Cascating.
The AI is drunk and playing telephone with God knows what.
Okay, but
that
listen.
Would be, if it was just that webpage, we would all be delighted.
We wouldn't be talking about it on the show. Listen, we understand everybody's talking about this. There's so many layers deeper. I feel like making typos is like the least hysterical thing that happened here. Well, the least hysterical thing that happened here is many hardworking families were hoodwinked out of their money. Although apparently they have been refunded that, but you blew a kid's weekend afternoon with that. So that's the thing.
I will tell you now as a parent, getting the money back, amazing. What you're not going to get back is all the questions that child has upon walking in, and you've been building up, we're going to a chocolate experience, and then the child walks in and is like, oh man, this is actually, I can pinpoint now when my childhood ended, and it was right now.
Willie McDuff.
It's right here when you walk in and you see it's a gigantic warehouse.
Yeah.
It just has some scattered fake Willy Wonka decorations around it. We were every kid there got a quarter cup of lemonade and a single jelly bean.
Yeah.
Well, Juice, if I could read, can I read from the script? Because I could provide some context.
Griffin, yeah, I would love that. Thank you.
So there's a script that the AI wrote also for this experience, which the actors who performed here.
Can we doff our caps for a moment? I've seen some images of the people forced to work as Oompa Loompas, or I believe as they would be called at this event, Jompa Lompas or whatever. Yeah. Like, they do not, going through it.
Everybody in these...
the ink of their acting degree in their mouths as they work this event.
No one's having an awesome time here, except for me reading the script, because the AI wrote a script, okay? I'm going to just read a little excerpt of it. Willie McDuff beckoning the guests inside. Now, who among you dares to taste the fruits of our imagination? Step right up and prepare for a flavor adventure unlike any other. The guests eagerly approach a table laden with the described sweets, each picking their choice with a mix of excitement and trepidation. Guest one, trying the soup-flavored jelly bean. It's like dinner in a dessert. Astonishing. Guest two, braving the boogerberry bean. Oh, wow. It's oddly gorgeous? How is that possible? Laughter and surprise exclamations fill the room as the guests indulge in the whimsical treats. This kicks ass!
Wait.
Yes! If we're going to come up with a script for this experience that provides lines to the audience of the experience, that's some next level stuff, man!
Okay, I have some punch up, though, on this line.
Yeah.
When you're worried about, for within these ancient walls lurks a tale not yet told of an evil chocolate maker known only as the Unknown.
Yes, the awesome. Unknown is a villain. The AI looked at it is like, it's got to have a villain in Willy Wonka. That's the problem. Yeah. Slugworth's pretend. How about this? The Unknown.
Then the next line.
Trapped out. Yeah, please.
This fiendish foe has long coveted one of my most cherished creations. The anti-graffiti gobstopper. A marvel of confectionery science designed to aid, not just any soul, but the tireless guardians of cleanliness, our beloved moms, and yes, dads too, but especially moms, from the endless scourge of dirty socks strewn about by youthful adventurers. You know how when you think of graffiti, think of mums picking up dirty socks.
Okay. I did want to show, I have, Trav, just to, if you're curious how that all worked out, I do, let me check all these darn tabs.
That's a lot of tabs. Wow. Oh, no.
Describe the unknown, please. Describe the unknown.
The unknown is wearing horrifying metallic, like one of those blank masks.
Yeah.
But it's metallic and with a wig that's seen some shit. Wig, this is not this wig's first performance.
Travis, they live in the walls of Willy McDuff's chocolate factory. Can you cut them a break?
Yeah, but they're supposed to be a villain, and I immediately pity the unknown so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, there is a picture here that just came by of Pete Davidson and the unknown together on a walking date, which was quite nice.
That's great. We all love the unknown. Trav, here's just a few more images from it.
Oh my God.
It's like a wall with a picture of a candy house printed on it.
Okay, I want to talk about that for a second because I saw that image. It's like one of those like AI generated screen printed like backdrop step and repeat kind of thing. And of all the other stuff that happened in this, I want to give this one the benefit of the doubt that they, like myself, ordered something online without doing any research except the moment you're like, oh, that works, and you order it. And then that comes, there must have come a moment. This thing is maybe 30% the scale it needed to be to cover this wall. So there must have been a point, because AI, so far, can't tape things to walls. There must have been a moment where this...
Or write coherent Willy Wonka fan fiction.
Yes. So there must have come a moment where human beings pinned that to the wall, taped it to the wall, took a step back and said, are we just going to leave it like that? Is that... And we're... this is what we're doing. Right? This is it, okay. Right? And we're just going to let people in here still. So here's what I'm excited about.
Yeah.
Willy's Chocolate Experience 2. They're going to have worked out so much of this stuff.
Like absolutely they are.
The next time they do it, Willie McDuff will ride again.
TanaCon 2, Firefest 2, Willy's Chocolate Experience of the Mind.
I wanted to mention also in the script, and this is amazing, but in the script that the computer made, it has cues for the audience too.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It has things like the audience chatter quiets down, their attention captured by the change in Willy Wonka's tone, or Willy's tone, and intriguing darkness ahead. So that is what they have to do. That's what the audience murmurs affirmatively, a mix of excitement and nervous anticipation in the air.
Yeah, no, I mean, I brought this up earlier. I think maybe everybody receives a program like when you go to a Catholic church, and sometimes they're like, listen, we know you're not going to, you don't necessarily know how to rock with all this stuff. We do a ton of shit here.
You guys need to show up for rehearsal, and that's fine.
Yeah. They put it in bold, so you know, you're not Willy McDuff or The Unknown, so you should know that all the other lines are basically going to fall on you. There is a bubble in lemonade room. That's why they get the lemonade. In the script came up with bubble in lemonade room, which in the summertime is my whole house.
Yeah, a bubble in lemonade room. I will say this about the Willy Wonka experience. It still looks better than the aquarium in Austin. So we
holy shit, juice shots fired.
Shots fired.
Shots fired at that former Kohl's that is now a hospice facility for very sick turtles and fish and sometimes lemurs.
This is an aquarium that'll let you buy a bag of food for any animal you want and then not monitor what you do with that food. It is left up to your
just
own
one
devices.
Food for all the animals? Are you sure, Doug?
You can buy fish.
We're all carbon-based life forms at some point. We're all basically eating the same stuff.
You can buy fish to give to the birds, then walk to the fish and put the fish in with the live fish. No one gives a shit,
it's man. One time I saw a big turtle there upside down, and I was like, you're done. No one is ever going to get around to you, my man.
They had a mermaid doing face paint that I'm still not sure was an employee.
Hell yeah. One time I saw Elsa there. What the fuck? Are you sure?
You know, known animal. You know how that's the whole deal with Elsa? She hangs out with animals, right? That's her power?
Listen, I think AI, maybe... We look at the list of things that we are going to allow AI to do as the AI adjudicators, as the AI oversight panel, and say, sort of coming up with ideas for small businesses and how to execute those ideas is not on the list. That's not good, actually.
Yeah, we can mark that one off and move on to the next one, midwifery. We're going to see how that one goes with AI.
Probably not so great.
Yeah, but you got it. Test new stuff.
You do have to test it. You're right, Travis. This is the AI oversight panel. We have to do that stuff.
I hate AI.
So the list is ongoing. Will Smith spaghetti. Harmless Willy Wonka fan fiction. Not Blue Sky Solutioneering how to run an aquarium.
Yeah.
Right.
And probably not midwifery, but we'll check back on that.
This is an advice show still, and our advice is to listen to our advice.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Get them.
Whoa. I invited a girl to go ice skating this Saturday, but I do not know how to skate. It's a childhood dream, but I've never been able to realize it because I live in a fucking desert. I really want to impress her. How do I learn to skate without access to ice until Saturday? We're going at the earliest available session at the ice rink that just opened. That's February off ice.
Fourth, that's
a bad idea.
Going ice skating in general is a mess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Inviting someone on an ice skating date when you don't ice skate.
It's romantic.
I will say this.
It's romantic.
If you're someone who loves ice skating, cool, man. Good for you. I'm so happy for you. This isn't for you. I get it. My daughter, I saw this play out in real time this winter. My 7-year-old was like, all I want to do. All I want to do, Daddy, let's go ice skating. Let's go ice skating, she said. And so I took her ice skating. She was on the ice for 0.5 seconds and said, I don't want to do this anymore. Because once she got there, she realized the inherent danger, the unforgiving nature of ice.
Ice.
Yeah.
And just basically the steep learning curve that is ice skate. Because in order to learn how to ice skate, you kind of have to let go of your attachment to the mortal world. You have to convince yourself of, like, I don't care what happens to my body for the next hour while I do this. Because even in a best case scenario and you don't fall down, you will not feel good afterwards.
Yeah,
There are angles, joints, tendons you will use that you've never used before in your life. Your body will cry out for relief.
I took Rachel on an ice skating date for our wedding anniversary here in D.C., and we watch a ton of hockey, and so, like, part of me is like, certainly through osmosis, I will have picked up something. But then I put those big boots on that
knife
stop
boots.
At the the knife boots that stop at the wrong point on your leg, and then got out there and could not even stay upright because of my little tiny sweet bird ankles that I've got. And so then she just sort of did a few solo laps while I watched from the sidelines, like, you got it, baby. Woo.
And what will also happen is somehow every other human being there will fall into one or two categories, either lightning, just zipping around, flying past you, spinning you around like some sort of goofy-esque cartoon character trying to learn to skate, or the other ones who constantly seem to be hurling themselves in front of you, making you have to avoid manslaughter.
There should be two rinks. There should be two rinks, and there's one for fast. One for fast and one for falling. And if you go on the falling one, you're going to get run into a lot. But if you run into anybody, it's okay, because you're at the falling rink.
If they could set up somehow the equivalent of, like, bowling lane bumpers on the falling rink, where there's ice, but there's also 2 feet of foam above it, that would be ideal for me.
The whole skating thing.
Yeah, go off, King.
I will, thank you. The whole skating thing is nonsense.
Thank you.
Here's the deal with skating, okay? All skating.
All skating?
Okay? All skating.
Ice, roller, inline.
Not skateboarding, because that's got attitude, but every other kind of skating.
Also, I think you're probably more afraid of, you're afraid of offending skateboarders more than you are inline skaters.
Yeah, man. Have you seen those fucking guys?
So cool.
No, but here's the thing about it. 100 years ago, nothing was fun, and there wasn't anything that was fun, right?
If they had gone to the Wonka Experience 100 years ago, they would have been losing
their
mind.
They didn't have that. They didn't have TV. They didn't have maybe radio. But, like, they didn't have anything fun, right? So if you wanted to do something fun, like, you could be just standing there and be like, I'm going to die. I don't have something fun to do. And someone's like, well, if you're extremely desperate, one dumbass thing you could do is put wheels on your feet and roll your ass down a hill. Fuck off. That's stupid. I don't want to do that. I'm not that desperate for fun. I got a phone and a TV.
Yeah.
Maybe two TVs if I'm allowed to brag for a moment. Skating is, that is the only reason we came with skating, is we couldn't find anything fun. Same with bicycles, okay? We have cars now, don't need bicycles anymore. Okay,
well,
what else?
Hey, Justin, no one's overstepping, I'm realizing. Yeah, skating, I feel really good about.
Okay, you had the point. You maybe stepped out of bounds for a moment. We're going to have to bring you back in.
I'm not doing the classic Justin dig in. I will see that I got a little bit greedy. Bikes are good, I get the idea. But, like, skating, it's just dangerous because nothing used to be fun. And now things are fun, so we don't need to skate anymore.
Back in the day, we had to do stuff to get brave for war.
Yeah.
Skating's one of those things. Skating was invented by the government to make us brave for war. But I don't, that's not my reality. And so I don't feel good without the terra firma beneath these two pegs of mine.
I will also say, a thing like ice skating, where there's numerous times in movies, TV, stories, books, where somebody falls through the ice, and that's a big dramatic point in a thing. And then we see that and we think, and you know what I want to do on a date? That. Right? Yeah. No. It's hard to have a conversation, get to know somebody on a date when you're ice skating around and trying not to die.
Yeah, and holding hands for support. Oops, no, wait, that's incredibly romantic.
I think this person needs to be reaffirmed that they made a bad choice. They're saying, look, I made a bad choice. Help me fix it. Okay.
I said that thing about holding hands. And actually, the last time I went ice skating, I remember the thought that crossed my mind as soon as I was slip sliding away was, no one touch me. Nobody try and touch me right now.
I'm a big man. My worry is I start going down, I'm pulling whoever arm I'm holding with
me.
It's going, they're going with me or they're losing that arm. It's one of those two things.
The only gambit you have here, unfortunately, I think, is to fake sick on day of the date. Text, can't do it. Can't ice skate today. I don't want to go into it too deep, but
you could also construct yourself a pretty sick assist, like get some PVC pipe.
Bro, what? Put, to help you skate.
Well, okay. I was going more with like a thing to help you stand up, but now this might, a robot, a skating robot, well, you say.
Let me hit you with this. Let me hit you with
even
this.
Even say it in the microphone. Just mix it up.
Let me hit you with this.
Okay.
Pee-wee's Christmas special. Uh-huh. You are going to step out there in your skates, and you're going to have a big puffy coat and a big hat on that is kind of covering up your appearance, and your date is going to be like, you ready to go? And you'd be like, oh, yep, hold on. I have toilet stuff. And then you dip out, and then a who's that coming out? It's Michelle Kwan. And Michelle Kwan is dressed in the same outfit you're wearing.
Yes.
And Michelle Kwan does like everything, man. All of her classic shit. And then skates off the ice. And you have to have Michelle Kwan yell, more toilet stuff, as she runs to the bathroom. You come back out. And it's you now.
Did I?
And then they're like, wow, that's amazing. And you're like, yeah, but I can't do it again.
Did I put the skates on the first time? Before the first bathroom, did I put the skates on? Because I'm really worried that even that's not going to be plausible. Like, I don't even know how to get to the bathroom.
You're saying you can't commute. You can't. Okay, hold on. All right, hold on. So Juice is going to put on his skates.
Michelle Kwan, at the end of her skit, has to take off the skates and be like, fuck trying to walk in these. No one can do it. And then she threw them on the ground. And she says, and these are perhaps six sizes too big for me anyway. I don't know what I was thinking.
That's cool. That could work. You could have a big person pick you up and take you to the bathroom. And then that's an option.
Probably carry you for, maybe get a sedan.
Do you guys ever think about the Nagano Olympics where
every 1998 other day?
I had to look up her name because it was so cool. But her name was Surya Bonaly, I believe. Bonaly, maybe, where she was skating and she was like, she biffed some of her moves and she knew she wasn't going to win. So she did a backflip and landed on one skate. And I'm pretty sure that's like illegal. And they were like, we can't do that.
Too cool.
You can't do that. But it was so cool. She was like, I know I'm not going to win, so let me show you this cool thing how to do.
Where are you allowed to do backflips in the world of sports? It's kind of shitty if you can't do it.
I think it sucks. Yeah.
If you can't do football or basketball or baseball, they get you for excessive celebrating,
flipping,
right?
Yeah.
Now, what if you, I mean, maybe if you were so mad that you did a backflip, they wouldn't get you for it. But I think even then it's going to be unsportsmanlike conduct.
Scientists think we're getting close to the quintuple. Nobody's ever done a quintuple in ice skating. You do a quadruple, you do a triple. And they're like, for a long time, they're like, human beings cannot get the height and speed to do a quintuple. And now they're like, listen, they're getting real close. We think they're going to land the quintuple soon. I watched Yuri on Ice and I got real into it. And I was looking it up and watching videos of it. It's very exciting stuff, guys.
It would be cool to accidentally do a sextuple. And then be like, I don't know what happened to me up there. I think there may have been a bit of a small tornado in the room that did pick me up and make me do two extra spins. I don't know how to do five. Can't do five. You would get so dizzy. I feel like if you did a quintuple, you would black out from G-force.
I think you would have to hover for a second. There'd have to be a moment where people would be like, huh. And then you come down just enough that they're like, he seemed to freeze in air while he spun. Oh, it landed.
You know what sucks about ice skating?
What, Griffin?
Except for all the things we've already outlined.
You can't do a backflip and they'll say like, no point, too cool, no points.
Yeah.
If I get out there and I jump in the air and I spin around five times and land unconscious or dead from the G-forces, I'm not going to win the gold medal for that. There has to be
that's
a,
bullshit.
I get that there's like a rubric and you have to follow the rubric, even though sometimes they definitely don't, to keep things fair for everyone. I think if someone gets out there and does a backflip or does a quintuple and passes out or dies from the G-force, you have to be able to come together as a judging panel and be like, that's a gold. If we don't give that the gold medal, like, what are we all doing?
Because here's what would be amazing. If that became a stated on the books rule, you would see somebody start their skate, right? And biff the first couple, like, moves. And they're like, well, hey, guys, pay attention, because I'm willing to bet he's going for it.
Yeah. That would be great. The commentators would be like, okay, ooh, another blown Lutz. Do you think maybe this is the quintuple? Do we got the quintuple coming up?
We see his family wildly gesticulating, saying, no, no, no.
No, don't.
He's put his mouth guard in. He's going for it.
He signed a DNR that his wife has.
All right, helmet on. Let's do this.
Everybody, wet the ice. Wait.
No one look. He can't do it if we're looking. Everyone, avert your eyes from the ice.
He's calling for a Zamboni. He wants a full Zamboni before he tries it again.
He's taking a bony timeout. We got a bony timeout. Bring him in.
Can I suggest?
Did they ever do all the ice skaters try to get away from
time?
One with the Zamboni?
Yeah, they did.
Oh,
that wait, where cool the fight. Zamboni's chasing the ice skaters?
Like, yeah, it's like a game where like one person has a Zamboni and there's a bunch of ice skaters and the Zamboni's trying to get the people.
Yeah, just a yep. silly one. It's welcome to Wild and Crazy Kids Olympics edition.
Do you guys remember those toys? Like a fairy princess mm-hmm. on a little stick, and you would pull the ripcord, and her wings would spin around really fast, and she would fly up in the air like
yeah,
a
yeah,
helicopter.
Yeah, 100%. And go into a fire, and they stop.
And sometimes go into a fire, delighting a nation. Yeah, what if ice skaters could have long sort of wings on their arms, and then that way, when they do a big spin in the air, anything is possible.
I think that once a skater knows they're going to lose, and they're not worried about getting disqualified, we should have, like, the equivalent of rodeo clowns that come out and, like, maybe wrap a big string around them, as Griffin is suggesting, and then pull as hard as they can to get him.
No,
spinning.
No, I'm not suggesting.
What? Oh, sorry. I thought you were.
Wait, well, hold on one second here.
I'm saying we wrap them up on, like, a Hot Wheels track, and we let them go.
Yeah, for sure. Should we go to the Money Zone? We just talked about ice skating
a lot
for a long time.
A lot.
Let's go to the Money Zone.
It's better with you.
Squarespace.
Okay.
All right.
Tell me more.
I don't think I should have to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, can you try?
Okay. Yeah. Well, here's the thing about Squarespace, guys. It's an all-in-one platform for building your brand and growing your business online. What's that mean? That sounds like a bunch of gibberish to me. Well, let me tell you what it means. It means it's all in one place. You don't need to pull stuff from here, go to this website to learn about this thing and build it all in this. But it's all in one place. And you're going to sell socks there or pants or shirts or gloves or hats.
I love all that stuff.
Mittens or non-clothing items. You could do anything on this website. You can stand out, engage your audience, sell anything, even your time. I've used Squarespace not only to build a tribute site to my dog, Buttercup. Buttercup is a very good girl.com, but a lot of other stuff. I should probably stop pushing that because I haven't updated it in like 8 years, and I don't think it's the best showcase for everything that Squarespace has to offer.
A lot of problematic content on Buttercup.
Well, she has big ideas, you know, and sometimes the world's just not ready.
Yeah.
She was the first person to come up with looks maxing. And listen,
I don't know what that is.
So you can create pro-level videos effortlessly with the Squarespace Video Studio app. They also have Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system. And they even have member areas, so you can set up special stuff for the members of your website to get gated content like videos, online courses, and newsletters. So go to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code MYBROTHER to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Yeah. I told Justin, if anyone's listening, I don't endorse looks maxing. Can't stress that enough.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, self-care is good.
I don't know. Okay. Now, I want to talk about ZocDoc, because when I moved to across the country to our nation's pristine capital.
For Washington, a better life for your family.
For a better life for my family. I knew there were going to be certain things that I was going to have to replace in my life or rebuild. Things like any kind of social network or community here. And that one I haven't done. But doctors?
Yeah.
Yes. Check. Thanks to ZocDoc. Yeah. ZocDoc makes it wicked easy to find doctors for whatever the fuck you need them for. Well, no. Hold on. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
If you... No. They can't... I don't know. They can't give you like extra arms like a Dr. Octopus. Like,
you don't know that. Wait, hold on. Do you know that?
I guess not. No, I guess not. But no, if you need to find like a doctor for another specific thing that is standard, then ZocDoc can do that for you. I used it in DC to find a few different specialists. And it's super easy. It's a free app and website. You can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. It's wicked easy. It's very complicated finding a doctor for a thing in a city like DC that like takes your insurance and has availability within the next 8 months. And ZocDoc has been no joke the best way for me to do that. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same day appointments. I can't recommend ZocDoc enough. Go to ZocDoc.com/mybrother and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/mybrother. ZocDoc.com/mybrother.
Max Fun Drive 2024.
Max Fun Drive? What about it?
It'll be the best time for someone to support the podcasts they love.
Oh, yeah. Drive exclusive gifts, special events, and of course, all the amazing bonus content.
Yeah.
So, what's on your mind? Check.
Well, it starts March 18th, and it's only 2 weeks long.
And? Check.
Well, what if they miss it?
Well, they should follow Max Fun on social media, or sign up for the newsletter at MaximumFun.org/newsletter, so they don't miss it. Otherwise... checkmate.
Who guests on Jordan, Jesse, Go?
I mean, we could just list Patton Oswalt, Kumail Nanjiani, Maria Bamford, whatever.
We couldn't remember all of them.
So we asked my kids.
Famous people?
How famous?
I don't know. Pretty famous.
Really tiny celebrities who would go on this train wreck instead of like a big talk show.
There's just a bunch of people on your show.
Jordan, Jesse, Go, a comedy show for grown-ups.
Can we go to the wizard's house? It's at the top of a mountain in the clouds.
Yeah, I actually left my baseball glove there, so that would be great.
You play baseball with the wizard?
Sometimes, yeah. Well, I never had a strong father figure in my life. And so it's just nice to play catch with someone who is proud of me no matter what.
Yeah. And he can make the ball float telekinetically.
It's so cool. Like, and the ball screams the whole time.
The ball can scream.
Like, please don't do this. I used to be human and this wizard cursed me.
Yeah.
And he'll do it to you too once he grows tired of you.
Yeah.
Just funny stuff like that he makes it say.
It's hysterical. Brian sent this in. Thanks, Brian. It's how to compliment a song. We've definitely talked about this before. What to do when someone plays a song at you and how to respond to that. And now WikiHow is going to get a hand on this ball.
Okay.
Someone just sang or played you an amazing song and you're absolutely awestruck. But how do you tell them that? How can you say that you...
Oh, okay. So this is like the person is... They're making the music, not like putting a song on something and saying, I just heard this song.
They are
I
the think music...
Like, yeah. Okay, got
they
it,
are
it,
the
got
music
it.
Makers. They are the music are the makers. Dreamers of dreams.
Yes, they're not trying to...
I don't define myself that way, Justin. Thank you, though.
They're not trying to garden state you in a hospital waiting room. So these are some really helpful prompts, dudes. And you can all use this. There's so many. It's exhaustive and exhausting. I really like the melody. Identify something praiseworthy in the song. I loved when you changed the tone. Mm. Dude, that riff was incredible.
Oh, none of those sounds sincere.
Yeah.
It might be your voice, though, Griffin.
Dude, that riff. Dude, that riff was incredible.
Oh, that's better. Do the one dude, about the melody again.
I loved when you changed the tone. I really like the melody.
I think the melody is the worst one.
Yeah, the melody doesn't. The more specific you can get, like the. I loved that 4-5-1 chord progression that you did. Was that a D minor diminished 9?
Oh, I like the weird face you made when you hit that high note.
Yeah. I'm so honored you shared this with me. Ooh. Thank the artist for sharing your song with you.
Don't do that.
You didn't have to share that.
Thank you for trusting me.
Yeah. That was so special. I'm grateful I got to hear it.
What a terrible way to go. Don't do that one. Hey, thanks for sharing this with me. That's something that like you would say after someone has trusted you with like some kind of trauma that's happened to them. Not like, hey, listen to this song I wrote. Like, hey, that was very vulnerable of you.
There is an undertone to that. There's an undertone to that. Like, that's clearly not ready for prime time.
Yeah, you're so brave.
So thank you for being brave enough to share that with me. I really like
it. It's so important that we all have the confidence to be terrible in front of our friends. And it means the world to me that you trust me with how awful you were at that.
I feel like there's only one compliment that is actually effective and meaningful. And it's the one that you absolutely won't want to give.
Which is,
play it again. You got to play another one. Yeah. You got to play me something else. You got to keep these good vibes going.
Now keep the party alive, man. What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. If the next words out of your mouth aren't, you got to know more. You got to have another one for me. They know exactly what the score is.
Yeah.
Like when my kids try the cake I made and they're like, delicious. And I'm like, you want a piece? They're like, nope.
I do not.
You could also say like, oh, you know who's going to love this? My uncle, who's a big time record producer.
Yes.
That's another huge compliment.
That's mean. Why would you lie about the big time record producer uncle?
Oh, no. I have an uncle who's a big time record producer.
Okay. Yeah. Then why is my hit single Party Panda not a bigger smash?
Well, Justin, I told you that before, that he listened to it, he heard it, and he thought the world's not ready for it. He thinks that if you play Party Panda,
that's the whole chorus. The world's not ready for the Party Panda, but here he comes irregardless.
He agrees with you. He's worried that if you unleash Party Panda on the
world. He gets it. I'm saying he gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he said he listens to it on his own every day, and everybody at his office at Big Time Records loves it.
Okay. I heard from him, it's huge in Switzerland. Yep. It is blowing up the Swiss garage scene.
Like, that is bizarre to me because of the third verse, which is just about his distrust of the Swiss.
So yeah, he loves the irony.
All right.
Okay, that makes sense.
Hey. Guys, you light up a room. You light up a room when you sing. Express your admiration for the song and them. That melody will brighten even the darkest rooms. Want to play that? Want to play that at my wedding? Because it could never rain with that sunshine.
Man, that's a big swing, though, isn't it?
With some of these, if someone I know says this to me, I'm like looking for sharp objects because I need to defend myself against the pod person. This is not a
human being says.
Yeah,
I like how it made the room physically brighter when you did that. It was a little bit dim in here, and I want to play that at my wedding because it could never rain with all of this sunshine that you've made with your song,
with your music.
Another
one? No, thank you.
No, I'm good.
No, I'm worried it would get too bright in here and I'd be blinded. I don't know if you guys know this, but I did get my degree in acting from the University of Oklahoma, Boomer Sooner. I don't think I could deliver the line, I want to play this song at my wedding because it could never rain with that much sunshine, in such a way that another human being would believe it, let alone appreciate it.
No way. Not in a million years.
I mean, also in the same way that I couldn't go to someone the way I am dressed right now and say, hi, I'm tall Batman.
Right.
I'm a new Batman who's very tall.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a thing that they could be. You can't deliver that line and convince them of it. Thank you for writing my feelings. Say how much you relate to the song.
No.
I couldn't have said Travis, just Travis and Justin.
Yes.
Thank you. I couldn't have said it better myself. This will connect with so many people.
This song's about sandwiches. Yeah, man. You really summed up how much I fucking love sandwiches.
It's like I wrote it. In fact, give me that guitar.
Yeah. I'll be suing you for emotional theft.
Yeah. Okay, so this is where we're starting to get into the meat of it. The way you convey emotion is incredible. Mention the deeper undertones of the song. This is predicated on those existing and you finding them. But here's some quotes that you could just probably say one of these two, because I think any song falls into one of these two categories. I can feel your grief in the soft, slow pitch and repetition.
Oh, don't. No.
You literally sound like what I imagined happiness to sound like.
What?
What I imagine happiness to sound like?
Yes.
Which implies that I've sat around and thought, what does happiness sound like? Which may be the most deranged thing.
I think it's a beautiful meditation, Trav.
I think it is.
What is happiness?
Say things.
What is? I think it's a synesthetic journey. What does happiness sound like?
You know?
The laughter of my children and that song by my friend Jimothy about the sky or whatever.
Yeah. He's got that one. It's called No More Chemtrails. and I feel like I wrote it because of all the message of it. And the chord progression really, it really explores his grief. So impressed by you. Admire the artist's ability to write a song. You continue to amaze me. Is there anything you can't do? Boring. That beat is out of the world. That beat is out of the world.
Yes.
Compliment a specific part of the song. That melody at the end hit hard. There's something so special about that bridge. That is definitely going to get you. I mean, as a songwriter, I feel like I would appreciate that if you get very granular and say something about how that ostinato was out of the world and very exciting.
I think one of the things that this article is not taking advantage of is the power of the ellipses.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could just say, like, oh, that bridge.
Oh. Yes.
Right?
And leave something to the imagination.
Yes, right? They're going to fill that in. Happiness.
Again, though, we got another binary here, because again, all songs fall into one of these categories. You could say, the fast tempo has put me in the best mood. Describe the mood of the song. When an artist creates music, they create expression, and there's no better way to compliment their work than by complimenting that. So two examples here. Again, any song, you should be able to use one of these two. Girl, that low rhythm has me feeling so zen right now.
Mm-hmm. What?
That low rhythm?
That low rhythm?
What could a low rhythm be?
It's going to be like, I feel like I could run a marathon to that intense beat.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I would rather run a marathon to a low rhythm.
An issue, though, is if you're listening to a song with like a good, like, I don't know, 105 BPM.
Yeah.
That's an edge case for either one of these.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I have been going about this article all the wrong way, judging it before I thought about what it's really teaching me is the right way to compliment a song someone has just played for me in such a way that they'll never play another song for me again.
How to never have to hear another song from your friend.
Because any one of these compliments, I don't think that friend is coming back to you for input and feedback on their art anymore.
Okay, that's interesting. I wonder if there's a way of doing it that's less mean, where it's like, that's the best song you or anyone could ever write. You got to stop now while you are ahead.
You've peaked.
I think just clearly being completely inept at music, if I'm like, man, I love the low rhythm. I thought the bridge really connected the beginning and ending of the song. I enjoyed all the arpeggios.
The number of notes used was impressive.
Was it odd or even? Did you do an odd amount of notes or an even amount of notes? Oh, good choice.
Perhaps it was Ketcha who said, this song makes me want to fuck in my car.
Yeah.
And that is the highest praise.
When I hear a song with a rhythm that low and a 4-4 time signature, I have to fuck in my car.
I could waltz to that or fuck to it. Nice work, bud. I want to waltz in my car.
I want to waltz you in my car.
I want to waltz with my car.
Hello, new bop alert? Uplift an artist with an astonished gasp. If you know the singer, be a little comedic with your compliment. Don't be comedic with your compliment.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Hello, is it time to call X Factor? I don't know.
Is it time?
It's not on anymore.
Is it so time?
It's probably not time to call X Factor. So guess we know where the next hit.
Why make it a question? Why not, hello, time to call X Factor? Hello, is it time to call X Factor? I don't know. Is it? I'm asking
you're
you.
You're putting it on them at that point. Guess we know where the next hit has been hiding. In my mind? Why have you been hiding this? Hey, how come you're fucking hiding? Why are you being so shady right now?
Why are you sharing your hit with the world?
That's bullshit, man. You're being selfish.
You knew I was depressed last week. You could have played This Sunshine for me then. You waited till now? What the fuck?
This fast tempo could have made me go crazy when I was sad last week.
You knew I was fucking in my car last week, and I was doing it in an unmotivated manner, lackadaisically at best, and I called you and I said, do you have anything? Anything that could motivate me to fuck in my car better? And you said, no, not, but you told me you've been working on this song for 2 weeks. God damn it. I got a horrible, horrible review on that website I used to do that.
One of the last things here is, can you play it again? Ask an artist to perform the song again. Please sing it again. That would be totally on repeat during my morning routine.
Play it again, but slower.
Play it again feels like a cheat to put on here. Because, like, yeah, obviously, but, like, that's, you've lost. You lost the game. You did not succeed.
I'm just not ready to give feedback on it. I need to digest this a little bit.
Yeah.
Whew.
Gosh, that fast tempo has put me in the best mood.
Yeah, as you really lit up a room.
Man.
Quick,
yes. Love that low rhythm.
Talk about
quick.
A beat out of the world.
I want to munch.
Squad.
I want to munch. Alert.
Squad.
Oh. Is a quick okay. Alert. This is an alert. And sometimes these alerts are so you can act on this fast. Sometimes it's so a million people don't email me. I'll let you guess about this one. It's not pizza. It's chizza. KFC is bringing the global bestseller to U.S. menus for the first time February 26th.
Okay. I'm sorry, Justin. I thought it was a reference to Jesus the way you said
it
the first
time. No, it's not chizza. That's different. This is chizza.
Okay.
Starting February 26th for a limited time, KFC is introducing the international smash hit, the chizza. It's 100% white meat, extra crispy fried chicken fillets topped with zesty marinara sauce, melty mozzarella cheese, and crispy pepperoni.
We have to have talked about chizza before, right?
Yes, because it came
chicken?
From...
Okay.
It came to us from the Philippines in 2015, and it has been in a lot of different countries since then, including Korea, Taiwan, India, Thailand, Germany, Spain, and Mexico, among other countries. And now, finally, it has been beta tested for all those other beta countries. And now they're bringing it home to the big dogs. And we are ready for the pizza. Let me tell you. Let's see. Fried chicken and pizza collaborated to create something even better. The pizza.
I'm glad those two finally got together. By the way, they've had such huge and storied careers. And I've been like, when are pizza and fried chicken going to collaborate?
And now they have. According to Nick Chavez, the CMO of KFC US, CMO KFC US, that's what it says, CMO KFC US, the fan favorite mashup is finally available in the US after making its way around the world. Try it while you can, presumably until they are arrested. They turned one store in New York City, which it's labeled here as the pizza capital of the US, into a one-of-a-kind Cheatseria. Cheatseria pop-up.
If I ate one of these, I'd have cheatseria for a week, man.
How long do you think the people at KFC went back and forth about whether or not they felt comfortable calling New York City the pizza capital of the world?
Oh, they had to definitely run. They did some A-B testing on that for sure.
So that is it. That's
even then, there was somebody who was like, it's going to hurt the Chicago market, sir.
What are you guys now? This is a really, really good question for y'all. I described the menu item to you. How much will you pay for a regular pizza?
And it's two chickens.
Two chicken fillets.
A cheese cheetah? Or we get some
cheese with pepperoni. Two great meats finally coming together.
$8.99.
All right.
I mean, I would rather not pay. I don't want it, but if I were to want it, I would say probably, I'm going to say $11.99.
Wow. It's $11, guys. You split the uprights. That's amazing. Yeah, $11 to just $10.99. Now, there's a small one for $6.59, and there is the regular.
Well, you didn't tell me that, Justin, because sometimes I just want a little cheetah.
Yeah.
Well, now you can have it, Trav. Enjoy the cheetah on its own, or plus up the experience with the combo deal, which includes the cheetah, secret recipe fries, and a medium drink.
Plus up your cheetah.
It's super good plus good times when you
every
plus
boy
up
and every
your
girl cheetah. Plus up your cheetah.
The KFC Cheetzeria, by the way, the one in New York, it offers only one menu item. Apple seeds. It's weird. It says it's just you mix up apple seeds by the pound.
They love the irony.
Yeah.
I have not seen a single JPEG, and I'm looking at a lot of them, of this thing in the wild where the cheese is even remotely melted. Not with my worst enemy's mouth am I going to eat wet chicken with crumbly cheese falling off of it. No fucking way, yeah. Man.
Me neither,
I'm down for a lot of garbage that we talk about here in this segment. Not with my worst foe's mouth ever.
Me neither, because they don't open till 10:45. So good, I can't Lord. Get this DoorDash order going right now.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself and are going to treat yourself to a cheetah for lunch. They have a vegan one. It's called Staying at Home.
Oh, I get it. I see what you're saying there. We've got some exciting announcements, everybody. First of all, it's a new month, which means new merch. We've got a Fungalore sticker pack designed by Dana Wagner, who is at Dana Wags on Dana.wags on Instagram. Naming of the Year poster designed by Samara Jedwa, who is Samara Jedwa on Instagram. We've got the little Sailor Man pin of Griffin. If you don't want it, I don't know what's broken inside of you. 10% of all proceeds this month will go to the Foundation for Black Women's Wellness, which works to radically transform Black women's health by creating a world where Black women and girls live long, happy, and thriving lives defined by healthy minds, bodies, and spirit. So go check that out at macroymerch.com. Also, in case you missed it, we're coming to Chicago and C2E2. We're doing two live shows in April. On April 24th, we're doing My Brother and Me. April 25th, we're doing The Adventure Zone. And then April 26th through the 28th, we're going to be at C2E2. C2E2 badges are available now, but you do not need a badge to attend the live show. Tickets for the shows are on sale now. You can go to bit.ly/McElroy Tours for more information and tickets. Also, I stream over on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheTravisMcElroy. We also do streams and put up video content and a bunch of stuff over on YouTube. If you search for McElroy Family, you can also follow McElroy Family on Instagram to get a lot of information and stuff right to your phone.
Hey, I want to thank Montaigne for the Easter theme song, My Life is Better With You. If you haven't heard it, that's wild.
Because there's the beginning.
At the beginning and middle and end of every episode of our show. But you can listen to it whenever you want also. And you should, because it's a great song from a great person. And I would love to hear if Fungalore would hear a wish today.
Can I read this one?
Yeah, please.
I wish you would.
Okay.
Oh.
I wish my cat would knock it off.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been My Brother and Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.